This is a replay of the Wednesday night, January 10th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. We've got 3 hours to spend tonight, and I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593. 8888-ROLLYE will get you to me tonight, and pretty much every weeknight, Monday through Thursday at least, from 10 to 1 Central, sports preemptions notwithstanding. Speaking of which, tomorrow will be about a half hour late. We'll be on right after the Blackhawks hockey game and post-game concludes, so I'd say that's about 10:30 Central. But other than that, nothing else this week. Well, obviously, because that's it for Thursday. But then next week, only one sports interruption, and that's next Tuesday the 16th, when, just like last night, we'll be on at about 11 Central. So that's all the news you need about that. And we'll get to Stacy from Algonquin, because I think she's going to bring up the prosperity check, and you know you got to write it tonight before you go to sleep. So we'll get to that. But every now and then I read these stories that just capture me to the point of the what were they thinking. Now, if you were a military commander and had an officer under you do something in a drunken fashion, you probably would not try to memorialize it. You might try to cover it up, might be the prudent thing to do, but you certainly wouldn't want to have it become a memorial. Well, so 1899, that's right, that would be 124 years ago in Pakistan, James Squid, a British officer, got drunk and arrested a tree. He thought the tree was a fugitive trying to get away from him. We're talking real drunk. So he ordered the tree chained to the ground, thinking, in fact, that it was not a tree at all. And, of course, the people under him, you don't question authority, they chained the tree to the ground. This is now 124 years later. The tree remains chained to the ground. And there's a plaque. Yeah, tourists are getting a kick out of this, to say the least. But now, locals are up in arms. They're seeing the chains as a symbol of British oppression. I'm telling you, they shouldn't have put up a plaque. They say, through this act, the British basically implied to the tribesmen that if they dared act against the Raj, they would be punished in a similar fashion, one local man said. Others consider it living history, and some are making money off the tourists. But yeah, it leaves me speechless. Not that the guy chained a tree or had a tree chained or tried to arrest a tree, thinking in his drunken stupor that it was, in fact, an individual trying to escape him. All of that I can kind of chalk up to, I'm not really sure what, but something that I can make a certain amount of nonsense out of the sense, or vice versa. But the British decide they're going to highlight it, give it a plaque. Well, there it is. So should you be going to Peshawar, Pakistan, don't miss the tree. And actually, it reminded me, we have a tree in Arizona. I don't know if it still has a plaque. It used to, but I haven't been over in about 50 years to see if it's still there. And that's in the lovely town. It's between here off of Highway 93, and I can't think of the name now. It's a W. It's not Winkleman, but I'll think of it in a moment. But nonetheless, the deal was years ago when it really was the Wild West in every sense of the word. They use this tree as the place that they would chain criminals to, who would wait there until they were picked up by stagecoach or whatever to be taken to the jail in Phoenix. The tree, as I say, the last time I looked, was still there. So, yeah, it was... It was actually the area's jail. The tree with plenty of chains and availabilities and all that. But to the best of my knowledge, no one's been chained to it in many, many years. Of course, I don't think anybody's been chained to the tree in Pakistan. It's the tree itself. Interesting stuff. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And we've got Stacy in Algonquin. What's up tonight, Stacy?
Hi, Raleigh.
How you feeling?
I just wanted to double check with you.
Yeah.
The time to write the abundance check.
As late as you can tonight, because it is tomorrow morning, Thursday morning at 5:57 a.m. Central Time.
Okay.
So you're probably not going to be up at 5:57 a.m. Central Time. So that is whenever you're turning in for the night tonight, that's when you write it.
Okay. Great, great.
Yeah, so
I
that's the deal.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, so how are you feeling?
Okay, I have my good days and bad days and getting used to everything, you know. And
COVID is now behind you?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good. All right.
You know, everything, you know, everybody's nice and everything. And I think I'm getting things really nice in
sure.
my apartment and my computer and all that.
Sure. It's all good.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
I have an excellent view when I open up my blinds.
Ooh, that is
and
nice. Man, that is really nice. Nothing beats a good yeah. view.
Right. So it's good. And how are you feeling?
You know, like you say, good days and bad days. So we'll
right.
just leave it at that. All right. Well, it's great to hear from you. So write that check before you go to sleep tomorrow, unless you really stay up late. And then any time before 5:57 a.m. would be good.
Great. Thank you,
all right.
Raleigh.
Good
you
luck.
Take care.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
All right. So good deal. And yes, we'll be live tomorrow after the game for 2.5 hours. And if you if you're not aware of the law of abundance, this is an old thing on a spiritual level. You know, the old ask and ye shall receive, that if you put your intentions known to the universe, that you will be rewarded with whatever you're putting out there. Now, of course, that would include bad things, too. So you might want to think twice before petitioning the higher beings to do your bidding if it's not good, because it may come back to slap you upside the face. Now, that said, here is the deal. You can petition the universe, the whatever you want to call them, your spirit guides, your holy angels, your you name it, that's right, your archangels, whatever. Well, you can petition them anytime, but it seems to be most effective right before the new moon every month, like right before the new moon. And by the way, like everything else, this is not without its controversy. There are some people who think it's right after the new moon. But Marianne Winkowski, the Ghostbuster, assures me, no, it is before the new moon. And I go with that because she's usually very right about these things. So what you do is you write a check, not a real check. Don't you could use one, but you're not gonna cash it. Yellow paper, for what reasons I don't know, but it doesn't have to be. But that seems to be most effective for the hereafter. And you don't date it. On the pay to line, you write your own name. You don't put any amount. On the next line, you just write paid in full, and then you sign it. Law of Abundance. And you do this right before the new moon, and it's a way of telling the universe what you want. And don't be specific, because you'll be limiting the goodies that you'll get. Now, of course, the goodies may not be financial. They may be. It may be a windfall, but they may also be better health or other abundant things that you would want in your life. Now, the only thing about this, there's always a catch, isn't there? The only thing about this is you can't throw the check away, ever. So, or your abundance will be recalled. Now, I didn't know that at first, so I blissfully was throwing checks away for years. And then, I don't know, about a decade or so, I stumbled upon that you can't throw the checks away bit. And I'll tell you, you talk about stuff, yeah, boxes of checks, because I do this every month. And, yeah, amazingly, it's interesting to see what happens. And it's not always on an immediate timetable. for sure, though it can be. It can be just right out of the blue and quick. And it's not always what you expect. But at least for me, more often than not, it works. So that's the law of abundance. And if you want to read more or get a list of when all the new moons are so you're prepared, go to MaryAnnWinkowski.com, just like it sounds, M-A-R-Y-A-N-N, Winkowski, W-I-N-K-O-W-S-K-I.com, and you will read all about it. And why not? Hey, you need all the help you can get. At least most of us do anyway. I continue to read all the stories about what the new year will bring. And as usual, whatever you want it to bring, there's a psychic out there proclaiming that's what it is, good, bad, and indifferent. But what's interesting is the number of people who this year, well, this is the pivotal year, you know, as if the earth is going to end before July 1st. So I'll try to read a little more about that before I give you much of a synopsis, or maybe we'll have one of these hapless souls on to tell you themselves. Now, if you're a radio fan, well, I know if you're listening to the show, you probably are a radio fan. You know about the Sea Crane catalog, ccradio.com. You can also go to ccrane.com, but I think the easiest way to remember it is ccradio.com, just like the name of the radio, CC Radio, which is one of the many that Bob Crane has developed. Bob Crane was just like you or me. He was a radio lover, and he was absolutely disgusted with the state of reception in radios a few decades ago. You'll remember that. Hey, it's still that way now, really. Well, Bob Crane said, I can do better, and he did. You take any of the Sea Crane radios, you put them next to the average radio made today, and it will blow it out of the water, AM and FM reception, period. And the other thing is that all of the CC radios have really neat features that you can check out for yourself. And the newest addition of the Skywave line is the CC Skywave SSB2. Ah, single sideband. The world can be your oyster, not only in terms of a companion in a real emergency, but otherwise when things are quiet, well, you can listen to hams from all over the world. Now, you'll get AM and you'll get FM, which is nice, and it's the perfect travel radio because it fits in the palm of your hand. Only 8 ounces. And considering the size, the audio is sharp and clear, and the reception, like all of the Sea Crane radios, is just terrific. Now, what do we have on this? Well, of course, the single sideband is a lot of fun. But if you go to ccradio.com, you can take a look at this radio, and it's neat to look at. You'll also see there's a weather band and a weather alert, and it is the perfect travel radio that way. You'll get information you won't find anywhere else, and you'll get AM and FM better than you'll hear it anywhere else. And it travels nicely. You can order it by phone if you can't go online. That's one of the beauties of the Sea Crane Company. Terrific customer service. That's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But the best thing to do is go online to ccradio.com. And when you get there, you can look at the CC Skywave SSB2. And everything else is in that catalog. And as I say, if you're a radio lover, only danger is you'll find something you got to have. So, and of course, if you say, I want this tomorrow, you can buy it on Amazon, sure. But first go to ccradio.com, read all about it, see why you want it. And of course, you can order it right online or by phone as well. Now, when you call them, they'll not only be able to sell you whatever it is you want to buy, but they'll give you answers to all of your questions, and they will take your address and send you a hard copy of the catalog. If you can't go online, it's nice to have. So that's 800-522-8863 or ccradio.com. The CC Skywave SSB2, you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Roddy James. Now, Jimmy P gave me a six-pack of requests, and that was the first one, Black Pearl on A&M in 1965. It produced by Phil Spector, who co-wrote it along with Tony Wine, and the arranger was Perry Botkin Jr. So, all right, so that's the first of the six, and happy to play them because Jimmy P usually has some interesting taste, and get some other requests that you guys have made as well before the night is over, I promise. So, Valerie in Warrenville, welcome to WGN Radio.
Good evening, Raleigh.
Yes.
Happy Abundance Night.
Yes, well, we'll see. I'm counting on it.
I'm already half asleep, and I already wrote my abundance check.
So all right.
That way,
very good.
I'm half asleep. You know, I won't have to worry about cursing myself in the morning like I have for the last 4 months.
All right. Well, let me know what you get.
We'll see. Okay. Tom Lehrer and the Pollution Song.
Yeah. If you visit,
we were taught that
if you visit
in
American
elementary school,
yeah, okay,
as part
then,
of our choir practice.
And you went to elementary school in the latter 60s, I assume. Yes, if you visit American City, you will find it very pretty. Just two things of which you must beware: don't drink the water and don't breathe the air.
And they were rather. Some of the parents were put out by having the song, that one, and the Hootenanny song.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
they were part of the choir presentation that year.
Yes, well, you had a progressive teacher.
Go ahead.
I say you had a progressive teacher.
Yeah, we were out in the county instead of in the city. So,
I'm sure it would have been worse in the city. But in any event, I'm sure you remember all the words to Pollution as well.
I did, up until about 2 years ago.
Well, that's good if the mind...
I got hit in the head at work, and things have been falling out since then.
Oh. Well, the did they teach you the flip side of that as well? Who's next?
No, it was just the Pollution one and the Hootenanny one.
Ah, we'll see. Who's next would have had more...
The lyrics.
Yeah, I'm sure that Who's Next would have had more people really upset with the schools over that.
Yeah, I can believe it, considering they shot down Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog.
Well, I would too, but not for the same reasons. So anyway, you survived choir, I see. And what else is going on?
Called Center Positives.
Oh, you have one?
Yes.
All right, this is January 10th.
Actually, the local library.
January 10th, 2024, a day that will live in infamy. There's a good thing to say about a call center. The local library, they have a call center? A real one?
Yes, they do.
No, not in the real sense of the word. The local library does not have like 50 people sitting in an office answering the phone.
They have a phone bank that all of the phones for all three libraries go to the central bank.
I'm sure.
They don't have answers.
But they're probably
receptions or anything else. They don't answer the phones anymore.
But they're probably,
it is this bank of computers at the main library.
They're probably in your county though. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Doesn't sound like call center hell to me. But we'll find out what's going on with news and the world at large and all that kind of stuff and get back to the libraries that Valerie frequents and another bumper by request and hopefully your call too coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Unique Teens, and they were a group out of New York, and Carl Petras was the lead singer on that, and Oscar Smith was in. That's about it. WMGM in New York, the Big 1050, played that, and What You Know New was actually a follow-up to, well, I shouldn't say that, because there is an argument to Genie. Now, this all started when Jimmy P. wanted to hear Genie, which we will play, but did What You Know New come first or after? Now, originally, both of them were released on Ivy, and both of them were recorded in 1958. Ultimately, Genie wound up on the Hanover label, also not a very big concern. The Nutty Squirrels were on it and a couple others. And as far as What You Know New, Ivy placed it with Dynamic. And so, but the question, later it was re-released on Relic, Don Filetti's reissue label. But which was first, I don't know. But I always preferred What You Know New, so I was given that first up. Well, we'll play Genie, which is the one that Jimmy P. requested on the next bumper, and you can tell me which one you prefer. Maybe neither, I don't know. But I always thought What You Know New was a great little song. All right, Genie, well, John heard it earlier when I was playing the 45, and he came in and he said, "How is it that every one of them is out of tune?" I think that's the charm of it myself. All right, so we're back to Valerie, and we were talking about Something Close to Nothing. So moving right along.
The positive call center thing.
Yes.
Since you don't consider my library a call center.
No, I don't.
Is Simple Mills Cracker Company.
Is the what?
Simple Mills Cracker Company.
Oh, yeah? Now, tell me. See, I don't know the Simple Mills Cracker Company. Tell me about them.
They're distributed out of Illinois here.
Uh-huh.
Some of the crackers are actually manufactured in Canada, but they
are... I hope
are
they're not manufactured. I hope to God they're just baked. Oh, my God. I don't want to think
great.
Of anything I eat
they're
being
great.
Manufactured. All right.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, I know I read the labels and I wonder, but no, they're not manufactured. All right, so I looked up Simple Mills here, and we have all their fine ground sea salt almond flour crackers, one of our blend of root vegetables. All right, well, there you go.
Yeah, for me, they're great because they're not wheat. They're almond-based.
Well, that's the fine ground sea salt almond flour cookies. They have a number of things in their recipes here. Never heard of them, but you can buy them on Amazon. And then they have a store locator. I don't know where the stores are, but hopefully one is near you.
Mariano's and Jewel. And
I see what this
Walmart.
Is like, right? Safeway sells them, and Fry's or Whole Foods or Basha's or whatever's near you. Yeah, Wegmans. I don't know.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. And every time I call there, it's always a pleasant greeting. It's always a positive thing. I've never had any problem with them.
Probably not a call center. They're probably handling it in-house. You see,
could be.
Just because you're answering the phone doesn't make you a call center. Now, they may be. The picture of it looks a little suspicious, but hopefully they're right there in Chicago, because by phone it's a 312 area code, and they're right on North LaSalle Street.
So let's see. Would the government of Illinois be a call center?
Well, they may use them. Unfortunately, a lot of state agencies, and this is, I can't tell you about Illinois. I used to have a corporation there for about 30 years, so I should know more than I do. But a lot of states do use call centers. Absolutely, they do. But sometimes, yes, you actually get a State Department, and then of course it's a real argument about which is worse.
Yeah, those guys or the Social Security Administration.
Well... Yeah, well, you know, Social Security is good. If you want to spend a day at home lounging on the couch and, you know, waiting about 6 hours, then it's perfectly fine to call them.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right.
And they're done that and burned a couple of T-shirts.
Yeah, but usually if you're finding really good customer service, like I always say the Sea Crane Company has, it's almost always done in-house.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, I've called them a couple of times, and they're great. I love talking to them.
Well, good.
I want to nominate WGN and your radio station onto radio.garden.
I don't know what radio.garden is.
It's something that the Netherlands University did as a open source project to have radio stations and such accessed worldwide for free.
By the way, that's for free to you, the listener. Remember, those of us who are streaming, that's our bandwidth. I don't know that I really want the rest of the world knowing where I am. Unfortunately, I am on some aggregators, but I don't consider that my good news.
Yeah. So since you say no, I won't.
Thank you. I'm on too many of them already. If you can get me off some of them, I'd like it. Because I'll tell you, I look at my stats, and when I see a handful of people from Belarus and an even bigger from one city that I can't pronounce in Germany, I say, that's my bandwidth.
Yeah, I'm wondering maybe if someone has nominated you.
I don't know. Well, I'm on a lot of them. I don't know which. I don't know. Mm. But again, remember, anybody who is streaming is paying for that bandwidth. And so if the listeners can do you some good, that's great. But if you've got people from all over the world, you're saying to yourself, what am I, the Red Cross here? You know? So.
Yeah. Well, since every once in a while I do the BBC when I'm news that
well and they are set up to be worldwide, and they have a budget for that as well, and they are on every aggregator in the world, I'm sure, so that's no problem. But for you know, I can't speak for WGN. I don't know how they'd feel about it, but if I were them, I would really not be caring if I was reaching people in places I couldn't find on a map. I would just want to cover all of Chicagoland because that's where the revenue comes from.
Yeah, I don't remember WGN actually bouncing to my hometown decades ago.
Well, where was your hometown?
But I did have Paul Harvey rebroadcast on my home station.
Where was your home station?
KOMO 1000 AM.
Oh, well, you're right. You're not going to hear... Oh, God. Yes, yes. Fisher's Blend, Como, yes, know it all so well. And, of course, you know that...
Did you work for Fisher?
I had the joy of working for King. Dorothy Stimson Bullitt, yes. But Como, yeah. I always thought Como was fun because it was owned by Fisher's Blend, and most people thought that was booze, but it was actually, as you know, because you're from there, it was flour.
The Fisher family.
Yeah, absolutely. And Como was a terrific radio station. Absolutely.
Yeah, from Vancouver to Vancouver.
Yeah, Como was great. Como and Cairo and KBI. There were, and of course, for Top 40, KJR and KOL. There were a lot of good stuff. So
yeah. And the Bates College in Tacoma, the school radio station, too.
Well, that I can't speak to.
KBPCE. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they had one, but I can't claim I heard it. When I worked at King, the interesting thing, I wasn't there long at all, but you could be in the parking lot. Of course, King was on 1090, and at night, of course, that signal was abysmal. I could be driving from that parking lot to where I lived in Everett, and along the way, I'd be listening to 1090 out of Rosarita Beach in Mexico. Oh, this is not good news. but hey, Huggy Boy did play some fine oldies, so I guess I couldn't really complain.
Yeah, where I was at, one of when the local AM went away, I was hearing San Francisco.
Oh, sure. Which station?
The one out of San Francisco.
No. The one in Seattle.
It was the local Tacoma Rock station.
Oh, sure. It's KTAC.
Yeah,
absolutely. Seattle had some interesting radio, Pido Day notwithstanding. I'm trying to think, and I should know that off of the top of my head. Like, I know KJR is on 950, obviously, who doesn't? But I cannot think of where KTAC was on the dial. Oh, that's terrible. It'll come to me.
850.
Okay. Well, you should have gotten KOA out of Denver on 850.
Yeah.
Yeah, that...
There was one time when the bounce was real good and I got them.
Yeah, that would be most likely. But yeah, that's right. I think that's KHHO today. Yeah. Well, they had a lousy night signal. You know, they had a lot of power. They were like 10 kilowatts in the day and then, you know, 1 kilowatt at night or something. It wasn't very good. I forgot all about that. Though I've got a T-shirt somewhere, so I should have remembered the 85.
Yeah. Did you ever hear about King getting bounced to Norway?
Well, no, all the stations could be heard that way as far as that goes. It's like, you know, this has a lot to do with atmospheric. For instance, at least twice a year, I will get requests for, on my little AM, the 1240, I will get requests for QSL cards from Finland. And whenever it happens, I'll usually get a flurry of them, you know, two or three. And it'll always be the same night within the same time frame. So, yeah, that's the way AM propagates. Of course it happens. And there's not any station with some major wattage at night that doesn't have that, you know, have a whole bunch of stories about who heard them where. So, of course, Norway.
Yeah. Cuomo was always getting phone calls from Norway saying, yeah. Hey, we heard you.
Right. Well, remember, you don't think about it as going the long way. Think about it as going up over the pole, and it's not as far. I remember that they had a promotion when the Concorde first came out. They broadcast an entire show from the Concorde, and that was that was fun. So, yes, good times. Yeah. All right. Good to hear from you.
Yep. All right.
Thanks, Valerie.
So, was there anything else on my list? Nope, my list is all done.
Well, there we are. Okay. Oh, God, I wish my list was done. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I know. Sometimes I dream of just losing the list, but no, it would come back to haunt me in big ways. So 888-876-5593, 8888-ROLLYE. If it's on your mind, it'll be on my mind right here on WGN Radio. Well, now you've heard the entire repertoire of the Unique Teens, and that's 1958 on Hanover, Jeannie. And that was Jimmy P's request, and happy to play that. Now, 888-876-5593. I looked up the tree. It was Wickenburg, I thought of it later, that had the jail tree that I was telling you about. Well, it turns out, when I looked this up, that I found things I just didn't know. Apparently, jail trees were common to Arizona. And, you know, when it was the territory and the frontier, and so in the 19th century and stuff, the only other place that I think they really used them widely was Australia. But the way it worked was that, you know, if you had someone behaving badly and they were a prisoner, you would basically chain them to the tree, leave them out in the elements, and then the sheriff or the posse or whatever from Phoenix would come and collect them eventually. There are no known escapees. Now, the one in Wickenburg, not only is it still there, well, it's a 200-year-old mesquite tree, it better still be there, but the chain is there, the handcuffs are there, but now they've made it into a tourist attraction. It's it's got a fiberglass prisoner, I guess that would be. It's got a bench, it's got a plaque. But it's also, as I say, not alone. In Tombstone, which is very touristy now, has the Gleason jail tree nearby. That's a large oak. And then in Paradise, there's a pair of oaks with a log chain stretched between them. Prisoners were shackled to the chain. Then there was the Ruby jail tree in Ruby, Arizona. It was a mesquite, and that was the concrete jail was constructed in 1936. But prior to that, the mesquite did just fine. There was the Wyndham Boab prison tree, a large Boab in Wyndham, and that one is not in in Arizona, that's in Australia. So there are some of the trees, but the Wickenburg tree that I was mentioning, apparently not only is it still there, but now it's an attraction. So I'm not 100% sure what is causing the folks in Pakistan to be upset about their tree, the one that the British tried to arrest, but I guess the discussion will continue, and meanwhile it will continue as a tourist attraction. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Jukebox Jack is in St. Charles. Hello, Jukebox Jack, what's up?
Yes, I was wondering if you'd key up Travis Wamick's Scratchy.
Oh, I might. Okay, that now you see, nobody else requests that. So, yeah, I very well might for you. You betcha.
And to follow that, perhaps Slim Harpo's Maybe Scratch My Back.
Oh, yeah, that was a big hit, of course, on Excello. Yeah. Ernie Young's record label out of Nashville. Absolutely. All right, we'll do them for you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, I don't think anybody has requested Scratchy. And it is on this computer. I'm just sure about it. All right. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Leah is in Marcus Hook. So, what's up tonight, Leah?
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing?
I can't complain.
Excuse me. I got a frog in my throat. Well, I wanted to tell you, last night we had a storm, rain and really severely damaging winds. Mm. And there was about 100,000 people that lost power, and we were one of them.
Oh, and, gosh. Hello, Pico.
Mm. Yeah, and the power went out about 9 o'clock. So I turned on my C-Crane, because it has batteries in it. I turned on my C-Crane radio because I couldn't stream the show.
Yeah.
And without power, you came in very clearly.
I'm sure. That's what I've always said this. Anytime the electricity goes out, other people are reaching for a flashlight. I'm grabbing that radio because I know finally I'm getting good AMDXing again.
Yeah. And without power, the station came in very clearly.
Yes, absolutely. Because think about all the interference that was turned off because no one else had power either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then the minute the power came back on around 1:18 a.m., and the minute the power came back on, I lost the station.
Yeah, it was all over. Isn't it sad?
And then I had to go back to the streaming. It must have something to do with the with something electrical.
It is interference, and it's RF interference, and it's not just electrical. It's what that electricity is powering. So many devices that are in the home have all sorts of spurious RF that it kills AM.
Oh, okay.
You know, you got a dimmer switch, you got a microwave oven. I mean, we can go on and on. Everything that's going to kill your radio.
That must be it, then.
Of course
it
is.
That must be the reason I can't get the station.
Well, you and everybody else.
Yeah, because I know C-Crane is the best radio.
Yeah, well, but C-Crane can't do what isn't possible. They're going to be better than anybody else, and you heard that when the power was out. So, you've ended the hour. So call me again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Another 2 hours to go, hopefully with you, right here on WGN Radio. Yeah, when all else fails, play it backwards. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Travis Womack. And in case you were looking for it, it's not like the Womacks from Cleveland, it's W-A-M-M-A-C-K. And Travis was just really a house guitarist at fame in Muscle Shoals, but even before that, he played on so many sessions, and he's in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame, and he's in other organizations, no doubt, but I mean, you can hear his guitar work on everybody from Aretha Franklin to Peter and Gordon, you name it. And when he was 12 years old, he recorded that, and it was put out a year or so later on ARRA. ARRA was a Nashville little label, the American Recording Association, but by that time Travis was living in Memphis, where he was a session musician for many years. As a teen, for 4 or 5 years before he went over to Muscle Shoals and remained there for years. And he's still with us. So born in 1944, which would make him 80 this year. But nonetheless, happy to play Scratchy. All right. So 888-876-5593. I was talking about people behaving badly earlier, well, as I usually am. And, you know, we talked about Bass Pro Shops because it was last week that authorities were called to Leeds, Alabama, to the Bass Pro Shop, where a 42-year-old drove his car pretty much into the store and exited, stripped of all his clothes, ran inside to do a cannonball into the aquarium. And he might still be at large if he were not, in fact, climbing over the edge of the aquarium, where he fell to the concrete floor considerably below him and knocked himself out. He was charged with public lewdness. I would have expected public drunkenness. At least that's all I can figure. But a week before, apparently, the Bass Pro Shop was not immune to such behavior. Fort Myers, Florida. Only this guy is still on the large, on the lam, at large. And this was a few days before Christmas. He dipped right into the indoor fish pond. He captured a 50-pound tarpon. I don't know with his hands or what, but he left the store dripping wet with the catch. And despite the cash reward and social media posts, apparently no one in Lee County at the sheriff's office has been able to identify or find him, or the tarpon for that matter. So, maybe it's something about Bass Pro Shops, I don't know. But we also have more people finding out about their crimes from their Ring doorbell. This one was Arlington, Virginia, where a woman was sitting there and looked out at the Ring and turned to her husband and says, "Honey, there's a guy out there. He didn't ring the doorbell. He's just standing there. He's in a gingerbread costume." So the husband called the non-emergency line at the police department to report the creepy visit. About an hour later, another neighbor spotted the gingerbread man. That's because all of a sudden her dogs were going crazy. And then suddenly there was a giant gingerbread blow-up costume out on the sidewalk in front of the houses. Absolutely nobody knows, But a couple of the neighbors said, well, we locked eyes as he walked away. Not the blow-up, but the actual man, obviously. And they all contended that it was absolutely creepy and not holly jolly. This was December 21st. Meanwhile, the police never caught him. So that's that. But when we're talking about criminals and their lack of intellect, it would seem to me that if you're going to, in fact, burglarize a business, you wouldn't hire an Uber driver for your getaway car. But a couple days after Christmas in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, a suburb of Denver, Jose Guadalupe Perez Garro was taken into custody as he approached his hired ride carrying a backpack with $8,600 he had just stolen, Milwaukee brand tools, loads of them, lugging them to the car. And, ordering an Uber probably makes it easier for the police to find you. You might want to bear that in mind. And then we also have, if you are, in fact, not going to use Uber, you're going to use a vehicle of your own, do not leave it outside unlocked and running. Oh, you know where this is going, don't you? Three armed suspects were busy robbing a check cashing business. This was in Commerce City, Colorado, another suburb of Denver, a lovely neighborhood, right before Christmas, when another thief mucked up their getaway plans. So here's the robber's vehicle, probably stolen, by the way, outside, ready to go, when a woman not associated with the trio who were robbing the store jumped in and took off. Left the three on foot, teenagers, by the way, who tried to escape. Police captured two of them, along with loaded firearms, and arrested them. The car thief, by the way, is still at large, along with the car. But yeah, I would say don't use Uber and don't leave yours running. Those might be two things you would keep in mind. Now, interestingly, there's a lot of things that are going to upset you in this day and age. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, maybe you think there is, and that's when the trouble begins. And so it was that that a bunch of people wanted to go to this restaurant for dinner in South Bend, Indiana. Yeah, 10-person group. But they knew at the Wild Crab restaurant there was a mandatory 18% gratuity for anyone with more than six in their party. So they decided they would just break it up into two completely different groups and act like they didn't know each other. Yeah. By the way, I have no idea what they were planning to pay, but I don't think 18% is out of the realm of absolutely normalcy. I would think today 20% has probably become standard. But regardless, 18% got them where they lived, and they decided they were going to find a workaround. Well, unfortunately, even though they were in different sections of the restaurant, the manager saw what was up and charged them the 18% anyway to both of them. Well, they were upset. They started to throw crayons at the manager, and you know right there the crayons they got from probably the placemats that had crayons for kids to draw on and stuff like that. But then they brought out the pepper spray. Firefighters responded to help the victim of that. A police report was filed, and the diners, of course, who undoubtedly use credit cards, are well known. So, yeah. But I do agree that that this concept of tips are no longer a way to show your appreciation for wonderful service, but in fact a mandatory part of the meal, that is bothering a lot of people, particularly when they're going, say, through the fast food drive-thru. And I don't blame them, because why is it your responsibility to do that when the owner of the restaurant could, in fact, pay at least a living wage? But nonetheless, I don't advise you put some pepper spray in the car while you're going at it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. After the holidays, there's a lull, and you see this. You see this in commerce, you know, retail for sure. You see this in radio too, and we know that every January it's that way. But apparently, I've come to the conclusion after a few years of this that it also dims the caller volume. Now, that makes me work harder, and I don't like hard work. So could you please call 888-876-5593? Don't worry if you don't. I got plenty to play, including, yes, another fine Jimmy P request coming up on WGN Radio. Oh.
chapel bells I hear ringing, ringing the song, yes, the song my heart singing. Have sympathy, but listen, my baby, back to me, chapel bells.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's it's Tony Passalacqua, the Fascinators, and Chapel Bells, 1958 on Capitol for Jimmy P. 888-876-5593. It was actually a flip side as far as that goes. Well, depending on where you saw it. I wonder who was the flip, and in other places you saw that as the A side, and I guess it just depended on who pressed what. Where? All right, so saw it on several other labels as well, most of which, at first I thought, ooh, was it given to Capitol after it had been somewhere else? No, most of them were Boots. All right, so we have Mary. Mary is a first-time caller, and she is in Midway. Hello, Mary.
Not a first-time caller.
Oh, all right, well, it says you are, but all right, we're glad to have you either way.
Yeah, not a very often caller, but well. I'll tell you right now, I expected the phones to have a problem because the last time I called not too long ago, you said, we need callers call. But then no wonder nobody was calling.
Yes,
the phone.
That was last Thursday, I know. For 2 hours, the phones were out and I didn't know it.
And I thought the same thing. I thought, well, that's going to be this again. Of course, people are calling Raleigh. But no, I got through.
That's right.
And I'm glad because here's what happened. The last time I got caught off guard, I called and it said, no, we're not. So leave a message. I'm like, oh. So I thought, well, I got to leave a message now. So I condensed what I thought I would be saying, and it came out all wrong. I said, oh, Raleigh, I wanted to tell you that I went to my library to get your book. And I'm like, oh, what a long story. Ugh. And I hung up, and I said, but take care, Raleigh. And then I thought, I hope she didn't think I sounded like, oh, your book is a long story. The experience of trying to get your book was the long story, and I knew it would be. And this was some time ago. So I went there, and I had to actually do it online. They're like, you're ordering it from the Library of Congress.
Oh, my God.
And it's the only book at the library, of all the libraries. It's at the Library of Congress, but they did order it for me. So I get there, Raleigh, and this was a while ago. So I take the book out, and they're more confounded than I am. They're looking at each other like, whoa, well, now, wait a minute. You can't take this book out. You can sit here and read it.
Oh, no.
But then you absolutely have to return it. And then the next day, you can just keep coming back every day and sit here in our wooden chairs.
Oh, God.
That part I'm saying to myself, and read it. So the first day, I'm like, oh, well, I guess. Okay, I sit there in the wooden chairs pretty much. And, of course, I was entertained by it because I already knew you. I'm like, well, I know I could see how, knowing you, how amusing it already was, even though it's, you know, more serious bookish. But I made it through about 10, 20 pages. I was attempting to come back the next day. And I thought, this system is all wrong.
Right.
I want to have my nice, comfy house.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest with you, I think I was up to something with that very call. And now you probably know what I was up to. I thought, well, maybe I'll kind of nudge her into the part two. She said she was going to get going with the book.
I will get that online. In fact, a friend of mine who has a really nice website, I think I'll have him put it on his site, because there's a lot of other broadcast material, including some of the stuff I've done. So, yeah, it will get there, and it will be free, because I think it's crazy that you can see these, you know, online, like at Amazon, for absolutely insane prices. No one should pay that, so I'll make sure it's free.
Oh, I thought you said that wasn't even available.
Oh, yeah, no one should pay that. No one.
Oh,
I mean, it's people.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, when they bought it, it cost $23.94, and that included all the postage. And now I've seen things like $500. I'm like, what, are you crazy? And what I realize it is there are people who will just put everything up there, you know, hoping that something will sell.
I'll tell you, I prefer to we're so spoiled getting to listen to you live.
Yeah.
Is way better even than reading a book.
Well, right.
I was intrigued, and I thought, I gave it a shot. It was,
yeah,
it was kinda,
well, there's a
only,
lot.
I thought, only Raleigh should have me sitting in this one.
Oh,
you're
God.
Reading a
no,
book
I,
here. It was
I
so
don't,
bizarre.
I don't know why they did that, probably because they didn't get another copy. But I have...
It says something about the Library of Congress. It was a Library of Congress book.
Oh, you know, here's one. They want to sell it $279. What, are you crazy? Plus shipping. No, just no.
Well,
nobody do that.
Here's my other idea. I once said, I thought, hey, I don't usually play the trivia game because I'm pretty much got enough tchotchke, but I thought, yeah, hey, if Raleigh ever said, well, I'll Xerox about 10, 20 pages of my book and use that for a gift if you win my trivia contest, I would give it my best shot.
Well, hopefully we'll make it even easier than that. I'll see if I can't make it my New Year's resolution to get that up sooner rather than later. So,
my work is done then.
Yes, absolutely. It's a fun read, but it's certainly not worth going to all that trouble, or worse yet, paying a fortune. So I hope anybody who's listening don't. But no, I didn't get your phone message, and I'll tell you why. I have this insane person. I mean, this is somebody who really should be hospitalized. And the person calls and
it's
leaves.
Your evil twin.
Well, it's like 30, 40 messages a day or a night. And, you know, my message will go for 5 minutes. And, of course, I'm paying for it on a toll-free number. She'll leave all 5 minutes. Then she'll call back and call back and call back and call back. And I've never heard more than the start of her voice. And she uses, by the way, a caller ID spoofer. So it comes from various different exchanges and area codes, usually in the New York metropolitan area, but regardless. And so whenever I see these, I just immediately hit delete because we will not listen to them. Now, the problem with that is when I do that, invariably, I wind up deleting half a dozen messages each time that I think I would have liked to hear. So that's for anyone leaving me messages.
Oh, I had to clean up mine, that's for sure, because they went mine.
No, I guarantee you don't have to worry. It was never heard.
Oh, well, it was an excuse to call you in.
Yeah,
get the ball rolling. But the pages I did read were very entertaining, especially because I already knew you. I mean, you're like a first iteration for me from when you started right after COVID.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I remember thinking, oh, everything's going wrong. COVID messed up everything. But then the light went off in my head. But I'm like, the one good thing is I discovered that you like my new toy, Rally James, and it was just wonderful.
Well, thank you. And I promise you, sure Mary, enough. I will, in fact, I'll write my buddy later tonight to see if we can get that up on there sooner
God.
Or later.
Excellent.
All right.
Everybody can thank me later.
Yes, that's right. Okay, good. Okay, thanks. Okay,
all
bye.
Right, bye, girl.
Yeah. So what I did was I ran out of printings, and it's a question of, well, did I want to, you know, do another run of it? And I thought, no, I don't want to do that because I never did it to make money anyway. And it more than paid for itself, so I don't need any more money from it. So we'll get it up there for free. 888-876-5593, checking out what's going on in the world at large right here on WGN Radio. I think I played this a few minutes ago, but I'm playing it again. Chapel bells, I hear ringing, ringing the song, yes, the song, my heart singing, have sympathy, but please send my baby back to me. Oh, I'm Raleigh James. And yeah, I think I did play it, but I know I actually hear it a lot off the air, but I'm pretty sure I played it tonight. But nonetheless, then Jimmy P gets to hear it twice. 1961 on Capitol, of course. All right, so Jimmy P, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, how you doing, dear?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. Listen, first of all, I want to thank Johnny D for that song he wrote. Did you play it yesterday?
Oh, yes, and I'll be playing it again, no doubt.
I really enjoyed it. He took the time and the effort. He did a great job.
Yeah, and mentioned so many of you guys.
Yes, he did. And thanks for playing my songs. And I got one more. John asked me if I had any more requests.
Yeah.
I got a lot more, but not for tonight. Just for one more for tonight for my buddy Scotty. Can you play anything by the Dandeliers?
Oh, you know I will.
All right, that's it. So
right.
Thanks for everything, and tell Johnny D thanks. I'll be talking to you
good
later.
Good deal. Robert. Thanks, Jimmy P. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, the Dandeliers. Yeah, royalty as far as I'm concerned. 888-876-5593. Elizabeth is in Rock Falls. And, of course, you know I'm going to ask, how's Mr. Chubbs?
Well, nothing new to report, except he loves the snow.
Oh, good.
Loves it.
Well, he'll be loving it this weekend, that's for darn sure.
Oh, I know. We're supposed to get a lot on Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you were talking about WSDR, our local station, a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
About how many kilowatts and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I was just remembering some of the programming they had. This was probably in the 60s, and I would wake up in the morning to the farm show. And Richard Neuendijk would always give the futures to the farmers on corn and beans and sow bellies, that kind of thing. And then there was the regular news. But then they also had a program where you could call in and wish other people happy birthday or happy anniversary. And there was always one man that would call, and he must have had a list of a dozen or more people every morning. Where he got these, I don't know. But then another thing I remembered was one of the sales staff was a Mexican gentleman, and so he had Mexican music on in the evening. And it was always fun to listen to because it's so uplifting.
You know, stations like that survived. I always call them dollar a holler. You know, they'd sell blocks of programming to anybody who'd buy it. And so depending upon when you listened, this could be utterly anything. And some of them were hilarious. Now, some of them, of course, didn't mean to be, but they truly were hilarious. And, of course, I have a soft spot for WSDR because they're another station on 1240 AM, you know, and I've got a station on 1240. They were around for since 49. And, you know, trying to do those, you know, somewhat exurban / suburban things, you wind up having to basically you're at the behest of anybody who's willing to plunk down the $15 for 15 minutes, you know.
Then I think on Saturday morning they had Trading Post.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
3 hours.
Right. Originally, there was a station in Texas that called it Tradio, which was the best name for it, Tradio. The only thing is that the guy copyrighted or service marked it in some way, so no other stations could be Tradio. But they did the same thing, and of course, on some stations, they refused to allow you to sell anything for money. It was supposed to be like a swap shop. But everybody knew that a book of green stamps was worth $3. So you'd say things like, yes, I have a stool for sale, and it's three books of green stamps, and you know the guy wanted $9. So, but some of the things they'd sell were hilarious.
Well, I know, and as I remember, they could say what they were selling.
Right.
But you had to write down the phone number then.
Of course.
And call the person.
Right. Oh, they had to give it right out on the air. You betcha.
Yeah. And it was everything but cars.
Uh-huh.
You could not sell a car on Trading Post. But there were many funny things that were sold.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was great when you'd get somebody with a deep accent, because I remember listening to one of these things and a person called up and said, I have three cannibals I want to sell. And I thought, now this is pretty damn good. How does this work? Well, it turned out they were talking about cannibals. They were a plant. But this person is describing her cannibals as, you know, being big, green and leafy. I mean, this is pretty good. Yeah. So, yeah, those were a lot of fun, even when they didn't mean to be.
And then on Thanksgiving, you could call the station and ask them to call any person in the United States, anywhere, and tell them so-and-so wishes you a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The person didn't get to talk to that person, but the station person
right.
relayed the message.
Well,
and it was funny because of time zones, you know, they were calling here at, like, 9 o'clock in the morning, but in California it was much earlier.
Right.
People weren't out of bed yet. And
Of course.
What?
And the reason that as you know, that the listeners were enthralled with this was back then to call from Chicago to California was like $5 for the first 3 minutes. So they made the call for you. Yes, live on the air. They had no delay. These people could have said virtually anything and it would have been on the air.
I know. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Who the are you?
Exactly.
Then there's a video online about this station, and it's really interesting.
Really?
Because it goes way back. If you look for WSDR, and I think it's maybe their Facebook page, there's a video. And they even talk about when they had Ronald Reagan push the button for the new
transmitter. Yeah, okay. Let's see. I'm looking at their little page now because, of course, they're Sauk Valley Now, SDR 93.1 and 1240 AM. But I'm looking for this. I have the in-studio Rotary Wednesday. That's just perfect. Yeah, bring in the Rotary Club once a week. All right, so sure. And we have their snow emergency from 2 days ago. Looks like they were hit pretty hard, but I don't see the video. I'm going to look for the video, though. I bet you I'll find it on YouTube or something.
I think it lasts about 30 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah. I'll watch it. I absolutely will watch it. Because that stuff is always a lot of fun when you get right down to some of the stuff that were on these stations. And of course, originally it was individual local ownership. Fletcher Ford owned it, and Verdon Broadcasting had it. And you know, this was as local as it got.
The video goes back to 1949.
Yeah, that's when they signed on.
Well, pretty much the history of.
Yeah.
People that were there and the programs they had and celebrities. And
okay, well, I'm going to YouTube now because I bet it'll be there. And that's just the kind of thing that I will watch.
It really is.
WSDR, let's say history. Let's see what we get. The history of everything else. It'll be on here. I guess I got to just figure out what words to use to bring it up. Well, that'll be fun.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I found it somehow, but I don't remember how.
Yeah. Well, somewhere in here, I'll find it. You know,
it was on a Facebook page, but I'm not sure.
Well, I'll look there too. But as you can tell, anybody who thinks that I just Google the answers while I'm talking, you can see how just great I am at this. No, that wouldn't be it. All right. So I'll try. But a Facebook page, huh? Okay.
I don't think so. But it's been a while since I watched it.
We'll go to the dreaded Facebook. All right. I'll look for it. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
So, bye-bye.
Yeah. I'm always a little bewildered at this stuff, but it'll be there, no doubt. All right. So I think this guy got arrested. Either that, or if it's not a mugshot, whoever the picture there is should be. We have the DOJ. So it's news, basically. A lot of forbidden. Maybe that's just I'm forbidden and nobody else is. But I'll look for the video because that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh and Robert and Stickney, what's up tonight?
Yes, Raleigh. I've heard you're playing some great doo-ops tonight, and I thought of a couple from way, way back. I just have a couple of requests tonight.
Okay.
One is We Belong Together by Robert and Johnny.
Okay.
And let's see. There's one, I can't think of the artist now, it was called Chapel of Dreams.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I've got that.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to play that for you.
Yeah. Oh, great. And one more. I don't know how you're set up for your music, but this was, I bought this for Get a Job by the Silhouettes, but this was on the B side, the flip side. It was a nice ballad called I Am Lonely.
It's one of the worst records I've ever heard.
Really?
Yeah, I will not play I Am Lonely on Ember. I know this record so very well. But I will play some other Silhouettes for you, maybe even Heading for the Poorhouse. So I'll make it up to you one way or another. But you will not hear. I remember when I bought that record, actually when it came out, and I flipped that I Am Lonely. I said, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. And so
Well, I was about 10 or 11 when I bought it. So
well, just terrible. Now, but I will get the Dubs on for you. That would be Chapel of Dreams. And,
the Dubs. Yeah, that was a nice tune. Yeah, Dubs, nice tune.
Right.
Yeah.
And We Belong Together, some Robert and Johnny. And next I'm going to get the Dandeliers on. But then after that, I will try to get this on for you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
So, Dandeliers coming up next. Oh, Johnny D has called, so we will be playing his song once again. That's right. Call up. All right. Coming up. Well, the Dandeliers are coming up first, and then call up on WGN Radio.
I love my baby. I love my baby. I love my baby. But she's mine, mine, oh mine. That woman loves me, that I know. I can tell by the way that she carries on so. And on her calls through the nights, I hear her calling my name. She said she's mine, mine, oh mine. Got a wavy hair, she wears a ribbon in the back. She got dimples in her cheeks, and I know that far away.
James. Well, those are the Dandeliers. That was the last thing they did on States, She's Mine. I mean, usually we play like Chop Chop Boom or Shoo Wop or Little Man, May God Be With You. All good songs, but we don't play She's Mine that much, so I thought, let's go with that. So yeah, the Dandeliers do up royalty in Chicago for sure. And on the fast stuff they did, that was always Dallas Taylor doing lead. And on the ballads, it was James Campbell. All right, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Johnny D in Ohio. Hello, Johnny D.
Yeah, hi, Raleigh. I got to be a little quiet. My grandson's sleeping over tonight.
Oh, yeah. No, don't want to make noise. Becky will come on down on top of you like a wagon load of wet goats. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, I know. And let's see. Anyhow, I was sort of messed that song up like I told you, but I guess you played it last night.
Well, I did play it. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I did, but you know what?
What?
I fell asleep then afterwards.
All right. And, well, I think it deserves a second play. So
here's the thing. I wanted to thank Jimmy P for his kind words, because that's the only critique that I heard.
Well, it's
you know, and I was waiting for some positive or negative, whatever.
Well, we have Fran on hold. I think she'll have something to say. But maybe if we play it again, anybody who hears themselves mentioned, like Mark and Aurora, might choose to call in. Let's see.
There's a song called Call Up, Pattern After Wonder Raleigh Likes, called Stand Up. If you're hearing Monday Night Show and hear a song that you know, call her up and try to get in. If you got no doubt about it, call her up and shout it, because if you don't, it might be a sin. So call up, tell her all about it, call up, identify, call her up and shout it, call up, and testify. Now, friend, she wants her lyrics. Lisa likes her old flick. What Ruth wants, I really can't say. But her stream of consciousness will blow us all away. So call up, tell her all about it. Call up, testify. Call up, call her up and shout it. Call up and testify. Now Marky wants his charts. He likes his women large. That's what all his drinking buddies say. So if you're a gigantic woman, if you're a titanic woman, jump up and down and shake the ground when he plays. So call up, tell her all about it. Call up, identify. Call up, call her up and shout it. Call up and testify. Call up, call up. Lord have mercy, baby's got her blue jeans on. That's my fate.
All right, so much for a
moment. And that's
then.
That, Jack.
All right. All right. So, yeah, we got Fran, Lisa, Ruth, and Mark in there. Very nice.
Yeah. Well, see, are we on the air now? Am
yes. Yes, we really are.
Okay. See, like, what happened there again on that song, The last two I had to do, I think the Raleigh ride I did by heart out of my head, you know, without it being written down. And Becky blew that one, you know, the call up. Because I went in there, you know, she's in her room there, in bed, eating toast, all right? Not now, but yeah. The day I was going to do that song, the day before I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in there eating toast, and then I had a lyric in my head. I just wanted to get her opinion, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I go in there, and she's watching her Fox News, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I went back, I was kind of laughing, you know, I had just thought my line in my head, and, you know, and I said, I want to ask you about this line, and she looks at me and goes, you know, like sighs and puts her toast down, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, like, don't bother me, or, right. You know, and I'm thinking, forget it, I told her, I said, eat your damn toast, and then I went back. You know, and then I came back in the room, and I was going to do the song and write it down, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Write down all the lyrics so I didn't make a mistake and everything. And as you noticed in that song, I kind of muffed up a couple of words, you know what I'm saying?
No problem.
In other words, well, to me it was, okay? And I did that song, Raleigh. I did it the night of that national championship game at halftime.
Ah.
I did it by heart out of my head
at
halftime Monday night.
All right.
And that's why, like I said, it wasn't one of my best, none of my best work, but because I didn't have it written down. I wanted to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. She blew that for me. But, you know, whoever's important to me, it's not important. You know what I mean?
Yep. All right. Well, regardless, you triumphed over it.
Well, I wanted to thank Jimmy Pete over his good comment, Jerry. And I don't know if Mark is going to line or not. I don't know.
I think we'll find out.
Okay. And I want to apologize to Leela because I did say that she was going to be in it. But, you know, I had a line for her, but it just didn't fit.
Well,
she's been another.
It will in the next one, I'm sure.
Okay.
All right.
Alrighty, Raleigh.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right. So that's Johnny D, star of Stage Screen, and the Raleigh James Show. 888-876-5593. We will get to Fran, and we will hopefully get to you, too, and James. And, oh, yeah, I've got another story, of course. I got a million of them coming up on WGN Radio. Up, 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 up.
sweet homie.
Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, we will play Robert and Sickie's request, but he mentioned Robert and Johnny, and we will get We Belong Together, but that's so often heard. I thought, well, let me play one of my favorite Robert and Johnny's, which would be Try Me Pretty Baby, and you just heard it. All right, so 888-876-5593. We will get, as I was saying, to these predictions 100 years later. Man, it will show you that the future is not a line extension of the past. If you're wondering why psychics are generally wrong, well, that's it right there. All right, we got Fran in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. Initially I was going to talk about tipping, but then I was listening to,
Johnny D.
Mr. Chubb's person.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, absolutely.
So. I'm sorry. Oh, that makes me think about when somebody remembered my guide dog's name and didn't remember my name. I was crushed because it was a guy I was interested in.
Oh, man.
But anyway.
But, you know, those dogs really are a magnet. They are.
So. Oh, they are. Yeah. They are. And, it's, you know, but... you know, I was kind of miffed about it, but kind of understood it.
right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, he remembers my dog's name, and he doesn't remember mine, you know.
Yeah.
I was just so thrilled that he spoke to me. Oh, my God.
Oh, man, those are the days, yeah.
Yes. You know, now I tell Gary, be quiet. No, not really. I'm just kidding. But anyway, she was talking about the contests and things, and I was thinking about back, you know, I'd listen to Air Checks, and somebody'd won a contest, and you knew their address.
Of course.
You know, and so-and-so, you know, from Huntington Park, California, you know, 2245, you know.
Well, right, and they used to have street address contests where they'd say, anyone listening at 10275 Collins Avenue, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff is like, yeah, and the news, whenever somebody was arrested or anything like that, they'd always say, you know, John Smith, 42 Lackawanna Drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, so now, of course, if you win a contest, even if they announce, well, God, I can't remember the last time I've heard any kind of anything like that, because they're just contests for iHeart or, whoever. It's not really so much the individual
and
station.
They're not live contests. And the other thing is, back in the day, the contests used to have listener involvement. You'd have to do something. Maybe you'd have to guess which donkey was coming in first or whatever, but you had to do something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I used to love those mishmash things that they'd do, where they'd play...
seven songs, had to identify them in order.
Oh, man, I did pretty well on one of those ones, except I got one of them out of order.
Jeez, yeah, right, exactly. And then they'd have the call-outs, where they'd be calling, and if you answered the phone with the magic phrase, or if you knew how much money was in the jackpot or whatever, you'd win. And they'd put these people on the radio, most of whom never heard of the damn station, you know.
Oh, I had this. They sent me a script. I did one for KRLA.
Okay.
And they sent me a script, which, of course, my grandmother, who has no idea about any of this stuff and thinks I'm absolutely out of my mind, is trying to help me memorize this script, because, of course, it's, you know, in print. And,
Right, exactly.
And the only thing I remember about it was something like, and something keeps KRLA dual cool.
Oh, God. You know, as you say,
I
that
just
I
remember
oh
something
God.
About saying, you know,
yeah, Bob Eubanks was in there somewhere. Yes. Oh God.
So you know, here's my I guess 10, 11 year old self or something like that doing that, and they put it on. I actually heard it.
Oh yeah.
But my grandmother made me so mad because she would not answer the phone. Whatever it was that we were supposed to answer the phone for one of the stations, like, you know, KHJ is the best or something like that.
Right.
Or I listen to, you know, such and such.
WMAQ is going to make me rich. That was Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have the bumper stickers. That's embarrassing to admit, but yes. And yeah, I listen to the new sound of Y100 or, you know, yeah, all of that. Sure.
But she was so unreasonable. She wouldn't do that.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, I remember there were those kind of call-out things. And this had to be the early 60s because my adopted grandmother was still alive and living on her own. And she was always ready for a contest. I mean, she would have been great on things like Queen for a Day because, you know, when they, poll the audience and say, is there anybody with a hammer in their purse? You know, guaranteed she had.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all that stuff. But
my mom was on Queen for a Day. But anyway.
Oh, really? Did she win?
Yes, she did.
So, did she get the Amanda Freezer? What did she get?
She got a whole bunch of stuff. She got her trip to Vegas.
Yeah.
And when she went to Vegas, they treated her like a queen. She didn't have to stand in a buffet. I mean, she didn't have to stand in a line.
That's great.
She'd get in the line, oh, no, Your Majesty, you know.
Perfect.
And they'd put her in the front of the line. She got a total, like, hair and makeup thing.
Oh, that's great.
She got a dining room set. Well, the reason she was on Queen for a Day and the reason she won.
Probably you.
Kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, probably you.
It was me. It was her 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah, blind daughter, yes.
Was the blind daughter who wanted a piano.
Right, there you go.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding. Yep.
Yep. Yep. With the applause-o-meter. Yep. That'd do it.
Yep.
Do it every time.
And
I betcha.
Yeah, and I got this little, it was called a child spinet, and it didn't have, it was a small piano, I couldn't even fit my knees under it now if I still had it, it had a beautiful sound, but it didn't have, like, the extreme high, I think, I can't remember how many keys it was missing, so it didn't have the entire...
Right.
Like all
288.
The way up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I played it for years. Wow. I mean, I was still in my, you know, early 20s and I was still playing it even though my, you know, knees were up to my chin and, you know.
That's great. That's great.
And she had she got dishes and I don't know, all kinds of stuff. She got this stereo that had it was a real shiny lacquered cabinet thing.
Oh,
and on one side, there was like a bar, a mini bar, set up with, you know, it had like padded shelves and you had your bottles of whatever in your glasses. And then the other side was a AM/FM radio that had a thing that looked like it looked like it had piano keys on it.
Right.
Change the different, you know, the things look like, the selectors look like piano keys for, change it from record to radio to, I think it had a TV. Just this all-in-one thing, but it sounded pretty good, and it was one heck of a radio.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah, that was probably, you know, but, yeah, she got all kinds of stuff for that.
Neat.
I wish I could see it. I can't remember what year it was that, but I think I was about, I don't know, 3 or 4, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was born in 55, so that would be 58 or 59. I don't know when that show was on.
Oh, it was on throughout, you know, the mid to late 50s for sure. Maybe early 50s. That was one of the early game shows.
Yeah. Yeah, so it must have been probably 58 or 59.
Yeah,
I should
see
if they have any of those on YouTube.
That's great.
So
I'm sure. By the way, I'm sure they do. You know, YouTube would be perfect. It'd be funny if they had your mother.
That would be.
That would be funny. Yeah, but I'm sure they have, because that show was just so over-the-top bad taste.
Oh, I know. It's okay. How pathetic can you be? You know?
Okay, here we are. I just went to YouTube. Queen for a Day, Episode 1 with Jack Bailey, Gene Baker, and Jeannie Cagney. And we have several Queen for Days here, the full playlist here. Oh, my God. Well, there's 8 of them here. There's others. She might be on here. You just don't know. 1958,
wow.
Queen for a Day. Yeah, Jack Bailey and Jeannie Cagney. Some of them even have the commercials restored in them. So, yeah, might be worth checking out.
Yeah. Anyway, I was wondering if sometime in the near future you could play some Chantels, anything of your choice.
Absolutely. Let me get you some Chantels for tomorrow night. Happy to do that, friend. So you heard Johnny D's song. You were mentioned in it.
Yeah. I did want to mention that. Yeah. Yeah, me and my lyrics. Yeah,
yep, absolutely. Wouldn't be Monday night without them.
Yeah, I fell asleep this Monday night.
Oh, so did everybody else.
I guess so. I heard. Well, I kept thinking, okay, I'm going to wake up in a minute. Oh, next thing I know, I woke up all right, but it was 1:15. Then I was up all the rest of the night.
Oh, don't you hate that?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I relate totally to that one. All right. Good deal. Well, you will get your Chantels tomorrow night, I promise.
All right. Thanks, Raleigh.
Good deal. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And we'll get to James on the South Side and his 9 zillion stories and everything else. We haven't heard from James in a couple days, so hopefully he's doing fine. And he's certainly been sending, so I know he hasn't been offline. So all that and more is coming up on those predictions, too, on WGN Radio. Well, yeah, and it happens also every midnight. You get that other problem. I don't understand why people aren't just going crazy about that. No, there should be ways to have that fixed. Well, yeah. Exactly. Really weird. Really weird. Yeah, I use... I'm sure. I use SPL, Station Playlist, Studio and Creator. Probably paid under $400 for the whole thing. It has never failed. Yeah, and mine's never failed, not once. And it comes with tech support that's unbelievable. No, I'm sure you do. No, I mean... I recommend SPL to anybody because I used to have a number of horrible systems, some of which were, you know, pay every year and expensive and all that, and they all failed. And someone said, well, they're made in New Zealand. Give this guy a try in New Zealand. It hasn't failed. Yeah, no, I absolutely. Yeah, no, the only thing worse than that is Symbian. Oh, Symbian is just a dog. But yeah, SPL's terrific. Yeah, but they're not cheap either. Yeah, right. I always go for, you know, what can I get for nothing? Huh. What happened there? Obviously nothing. Well, this will.
You're mine, and we belong together. Yes, we belong together. Ah, under the
on Raleigh James, and that was the first single for Robert and Johnny, Old Town Records, 1956, You're Mine and We Belong Together. And they were from the Bronx, and that was their big one as far as that. But like I say, always like Try Me Pretty Baby, but there was a ton of stuff, and glad that Robert requested that. All right, so 888-876-5593. Donna is in Oak Lawn. What's up, Donna?
Hi, Raleigh. I'm calling to remind you about the abundance checks for tonight.
Yes, talked about that at the start of the show, and the bottom line is the new moon will be there at 5:57 a.m. Central Time, and so unless you're planning to be up until 5:57 a.m., write it before you go to sleep tonight.
And that's why I'm calling you, because it's right before the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
No. You catch at the beginning, but also at the end. Life is good that way.
Yes. Well, good.
You have a very pleasant, and may the abundance hit you for the next month.
Oh, thank you. I'm counting on it this time. I got something riding on it, so we'll see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So we'll see how this one goes. I'm absolutely counting on it. Thanks.
Fingers crossed. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, need it, need it, need it. All right, well, we'll see. So now, before we get to James, and we will also get to the news here in a couple of moments, but there was, I found this article, and now I've lost it. Well, it figures. It was interesting, really. You'd have liked it. No, it all started when, you know, I go to YouTube late at night because I try to find things to lull me to sleep. And there is this woman who, in the spiritual realm, she's been dead several years now, but Dolores Cannon was her name. And anyway, in the last week or so, a spate of videos come up with Dolores Cannon predicting things for 2024. And like I say, she's been dead about a decade. Well, I haven't listened to any of them yet, but came across this one. It seems that 2024 is a pivotal year for psychics and all that. But 100 years ago, a group of visionaries got together to predict what would happen in 100 years. I don't know. It's an odd group of people to get together, but we have several well-known luminaries, to say the least. D.W. Griffith, the movie mogul, director of Birth of a Nation and all that. He believed, this was in 1924 when he was polled, in the year 2024, the most important single thing will be the cinema. It will have helped in a large way to accomplish eliminating from the face of the civilized world all armed conflict. Pictures will be the most powerful factor in bringing about this condition. With the use of the universal language of motion pictures, the true meaning of the brotherhood of man will have been established throughout the earth. I don't know whatever he was imbibing, but I wish he had shared with the class. Yeah, clearly to say that didn't come to pass. But he went on saying, through the magic of movies, British citizens will learn that Japanese people were kindred souls, and French nationals would discover that Americans shared their values and ideas. Yeah. Okay, well, so he said, what I do mean to say is, by that time, war, if there is such a thing, will be waged on a strictly scientific basis, with the element of physical destruction done away with entirely. Okay, so we've got the other end of the extreme. We've got Professor Leo Baekeland, president of the American Chemical Society, yes, better living through chemistry, worried that futuristic weaponry would obliterate humanity in the blink of an eye in 2024. So we'll tell you all about that, too. But first, we'll find out what's going on right around town on WGN Radio.
Since I met you, baby, my whole life has changed. Since I met you, baby, my whole life has changed. And everybody tells me that I am not the same. I don't need nobody to tell my troubles to.
since I met you, baby, all I need is you.
James, well, he wrote it, recorded it on Atlantic 1956. Ivory Joe Hunter, Since I Met You, Baby. And that was, I believe, Dave and LaSalle who wanted to hear that. And, of course, since I heard that title, I thought, oh, man, well, it's a great title for Since I Met You, Baby by the Avons. Maybe I'll play that next. Nothing like the Ivory Joe Hunter, that's for sure, but still a very, very nice little record. All right, now, before we get to James and his 4 million stories, let us first take a look here, just walking down memory lane to see what 100 years ago, what was predicted. Obviously, so far, we have best interests. Clearly, when we have the new era of peace because of the movies, that coming from D.W. Griffith, clearly he had a dog in that fight. Likewise, Professor Leo Baekeland, who was president of the American Chemical Society, well, he was concerned about the horror of conflict. The largest and best protected cities in 2024, irrespective of their size or distance, will be continuously exposed to destruction and mutilation. Death and torture of the inhabitants will occur whether they are slumbering in their beds at night or whether they are reading their newspapers in their comfortable clubs or saying their prayers in church. There will be no way of safeguarding women or children or the old or infirm. You know, I'm not 100% sure what 2024 will bring, but it's going to be a lot better than that, I think. Then there was Arthur Dean. He was kind of the Dear Abby sort of his day. Gave a parental advice in a column in newspapers across the country. And his big concern in 1924, was that 100 years from now, what would our stomachs look like? Will we have any teeth at all? Will there be any color on our face except paint? Will men have any height? Will they be all girth? Yes, will people have mostly an east and west appearance, all latitude and lassitude and no longitude? What he's talking about, of course, is he was very concerned about our diet. Well, in a way, I am too, but I don't think to that extent. Then, of course, we had at the time, 1924, you know, this is the roaring 20s, you had a lot of religious leaders who were blaming jazz for promoting immorality among the youth. And Russian classical violinist Paul Kochansky defended it. He said, jazz is a powerful force for development in American music, and in 100 years it will be as accepted as classical. I cannot imagine how anyone can say that your American jazz is a destructive force. I consider that statement as wholly ridiculous. Well, all right. Down with your bad self. Swedish architect Ben Borgson predicted that U.S. metropolises, I'll leave it to you. You conjugate your Latin any way you want. U.S. metropolises would demolish giant swaths of cities to alter the architectural plans of towns originally built by men to whom the automobile was only a fantastic dream. Not 100% sure what he's getting at, but he say, I see 100 years from now, in 2024... three-deck roads, speedways through the hearts of town, skyscrapers with entrances for automobiles as high as 15 stories up, monorail expresses to the suburbs replacing streetcars and motorized omnibuses and ever-moving sidewalks and underground freight carriers, which will go in all directions, serving all railway, all business districts, which will replace heavy trucks and wagons. Well, then we have Professor E.L. Furlong in 1924. He was curator of the vertebrate collection at the University of Southern California. And his worry was that by 2024, horses would be extinct. Obviously, he didn't foresee the gambling industry. He said, daily tractor and the automobile are taking the place of the horse in rural life. Oz usefulness of the horse passes, so will the necessity for his existence. Before too many years, the use of a horse for the purposes with which he has been identified since time immemorial will be a curiosity. In another 100 years, you may find horses only in zoos. I'm sure you will not find them anywhere else. Yeah, like I say, tell that to the gamblers, tell that to the sportsmen, on and on. All right, and then, of course, we have Frank Ferraro. And he was mapping out 100 years in the future, 2024, in his 1924 letter to the New York Daily News. Has anyone ever stopped to think how the country will be 100 years from now? Just imagine, we will have a woman president, women politicians, and police. As women will occupy all the highest positions, naturally men will be compelled to do all the labor. Those who are not physically fit for such arduous jobs will have to stay home and wait on the babies or mind the pets. Then we will have an army entirely of women, so that in the case of war, women will do all the fighting. And believe me, they can fight, too. I guess he was having a bad day in his marriage when he wrote that letter. Then there was R.B. von Kleinsmid, president of the University of California, who said, "The girl of tomorrow," this is in 1924, "the girl of tomorrow will be a goddess who likes to dance. She'll be physically strong, vital, alert, loving the outdoors and rejoicing in its lure, active in sports, engaging by choice in those to which a bit of risk adds the spice of danger. She'll be beautiful, enhancing the qualities of inheritance through the habits of temperance." Okay, then. Now we have U.S. Senator, yes, he was elected, William Borah, a Republican from Idaho. He was very worried, although, you know, maybe more than anybody I'm going to tell you about, he was pretty much on the mark. He was worried about the extravagance in government, the oppressive taxes on Americans. "Unless people see the need of simplifying the government, we shall be unable to meet the problem 100 years from now and shall be in no better condition than the nations that have perished in the past." All right, William. Then we have Sir Kingsley Wood, a British politician, 1924, speaking at a dinner in London. He told his audience there was no doubt that by 2024, the average expectation of life would be at least 100 years, and a person of 75 would be comparatively young. Uh-huh. Archibald M. Lowe, a British scientist, imagined something that sounds eerily like the Internet in his 1924 book, Wireless Possibilities. "Doubtless in the future, we shall be able to sign our checks by the rapid transmission of motion. We shall be able to trace criminals, send out their fingerprints, and carry on many classes of businesses which at present require our bodily attention with the help to a man who objects to a large city." Why could he not conduct his business from his house in the comfort, instead of having to have his spats washed every week in order to maintain his financial reputation in town? And then there was real estate mogul Joseph Day, who expected the daily commute to change in 100 years. In 1924, he said, "The dirigible and the airplane promise to be the most important factors in the transformation of the suburbs and in bringing the outerlying sections of the city as close to the heart of things as nearby boroughs are today. The airplane is in its infancy, but its development as a commercial proposition will move rapidly. When this method of transportation is perfected and the sky is black with aerial flivvers, it will be the everyday occurrence for the businessman to fly home from his office and back home again." If you don't say. And then there was Lieutenant Russell Maughan. The dawn-to-dusk transcontinental flight of 1924 was what he saw as a national triumph. "What can be left to conquer by 2024, he asks. "Will someone daring, some daring American 100 years from now, traveling in a machine we would think impossible, race the daylight hours around this globe and win? Who shall say?" Yeah. The Fresno Bee, they put out an article in 1924, "The Styles of the Year 2024. And they thought the bootlegging influence was going to be big. "Since anti-cigarette legislation has spread from Utah to Indiana to over the whole country, many shops have been showing garments with police-proof pockets." Not a bad idea altogether. Dr. Leland Ossian Howard, leader of the Bureau of Etymology in Washington, D.C., warned that in 2024, the world will be so overpopulated and hungry that dramatic action must be taken before then. "At the present rate, the world will be decidedly overpopulated 100 years from now. Something will have to be done. Births will have to be limited in some manner." Well, then there's Colonel William Boyce Thompson, the copper magnate, who established the Institute of Plant Research. felt that the food of the future would be perfected for 2024, and it would involve plants. Yes, the study of more scientific methods of using vegetables. What I have in mind is in a few hundred years, the country will have 500 million population. I want to get ready to feed that population vegetables. Knee slappers from 1924. Yeah, there's a whole list of them as far as that. Columbia University professor said the problem 100 years from now will be keeping warm, you know, coming the cooling trend, but that most of us will have solved it by this time. And another one who said that he wasn't sure what was going to happen, but he wanted to live 100 years just to see what would become of ladies' bathing suit styles. Yes, one professor says women will dress like men and men will dress like women. Well, yeah, and on the list goes with the culmination. Says, "You're certain," asked the elderly lady to the florist, "that this young century plant will bloom 100 years from now?" "Positive," said the florist. "If it doesn't, just bring it back." 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. So, Stephanie is in Madison. Stephanie, what's happening?
Hey, Raleigh. First of all, I am really enjoying the predictions from 100 years past.
They're hilarious.
I think some of them, they were rather prescient in their, you know. So, and he also wanted to just quickly say that I thought Johnny D's song was brilliant.
Oh,
I
good.
I really did.
Good, I hope he heard
did.
That.
I really, good. Yeah. No, I really hope, and I hope he hears that.
Yeah.
I liked Mel McDaniels a lot. The song I think of way back when, I love all kinds of music. But Louisiana Saturday Night was one that was popular.
Oh, yeah. No, we played that, and Louisiana Saturday Night is a favorite by many, but Stand Up was my favorite.
Yeah, I like Stand Up's the best.
Yeah.
That's a really great song. You guys were featuring Jonathan and Darlene Edwards, and also Joe Stafford was singing with some guy named some comedian named Red somebody.
Yeah, right. That was earlier. Yeah, he was a country guy.
What was his name? Red what?
Oh, I'm trying to think. And I played it too, but
you did, and I was a hoot. She had a crazy name.
Oh, Red Engel. It was Red Engel.
Red Engel. And what did she call herself?
Well, she was still Joe Stafford on that, but it was later when she in print had called herself. I guess on some of the Red Engel and Joe Stafford, the Natural Seven included vocals by Cinderella G. Stump.
That's the one. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really was, I'm quite the fan. I love all kinds of music. And I probably missed my request. If you played my request, I don't know if you did. If you didn't, that's okay.
What was it?
You know, but, What You Know, Joe.
I did. I absolutely did play that.
Yeah, I thought you did. Well, I missed it, and that's my undoing.
Yes, but, I absolutely did play What You Know, Joe. I've got it sitting here right here on the desktop still.
I love that song, but you've played it, and that's okay. I would not, my hubby, when people will make requests, and then somebody had called and said that she made a certain request, and he said, "Well, I played it last week," and she said, "Well, I was eating my dinner or something." I'm like, "Oh, come on," you know. That's a great song, but. And I'm sure people enjoyed it. But anyway, listen, I just basically wanted to call and comment on Johnny D's song.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, I thought it was great.
Me too. All right. Well, thanks.
You have a good one.
All right, you too.
Take good
All right.
All right, take care.
So we've got James and his stories, and we've got Jim and radio, and I don't know if there's any room for you tonight or not, but remember, tomorrow night will be delayed by a half hour, but about 10:30 Central, it'll be just you and me. So plenty of things to talk about on WGN Radio.
Try so hard, boy.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Avons. Same title, Since I Met You, Baby. Obviously, no relation to either Joe Hunter song. Bob Holmes wrote and produced that. And I thought, in some ways, he was one of the most underrated Nashville soul performer ever. So, yeah, and I thought the Avons was a sweet little record, too, on Excello, Waning Days of Excello, Ernie Young's label, but a fine song. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And we got James on the south side. We hadn't heard from you in a couple days. James, are you doing okay?
Well, my phone, okay, basically, it's, okay, what they, I asked my about it, they said, and I told them what was happening to it, like, it, even when I would have it plugged in, if I was doing anything on it, the power was going down instead of going up if it was on the charger.
What's sounding better? Did they fix it?
No, I'm actually talking to you on the landline.
Oh, you might want to keep doing that. Landline sounds great.
And so basically they said, well, you'll do a replacement. So
yeah, but wait a minute.
3 to 7 days.
Do a replacement sounds like you're on a contract. You may be paying more for that replacement than you ever dreamt of.
Well, I had one that it was working so working well until like the last. You know, several months, it had different things that happened to happen. And then, it didn't help that sometimes it vibrate and go right off the table.
Mm-mm. Oh, that's nice. That's a nice feature.
Yeah, then there was, of course, the thing that happened about a couple weeks ago where it went into the water.
Well... Yeah, I know. If it had been me and it went into the water, that would have been the end of the phone. On the other hand, I've washed John's a couple times, and they just keep coming back, so I don't know.
Well, the problem was, in order to hear you, I had to put on speakerphone in order to hear you.
Uh-huh. Well...
Yeah, because I couldn't hear you at all, barely, even that I had the thing up max volume.
Well, so, of all the stories, what were your favorites?
Okay, there was like where the doggy that finally somebody adopted it. It looked like it was just like the last one sitting there, and somebody actually decided, hey, we're not going to let him just simply sit here.
So was that the 16-year-old dog left at the shelter?
Yeah, that tugged at the heartstrings.
Yeah, there were some wonderful dog stories, but then there were some others, that dog sitter who basically let the dogs just roam, and the only reason that the owners discovered it, who were away for a while, was on a video. So, really scary to think who you're leaving your dogs with.
Yeah, and then, of course, there was a guy who was so, conflicted about losing his wife that he left her there dead, and then the dogs not having anything.
Oh, God, no, no. Yeah, the dogs actually chewed off her foot. Let's not even go there. That was a horrible story. Of course, not only is that terrible to do to a corpse, but it's also terrible to do the dogs. I don't know after that kind of thing what you do. And
actually, I heard a story many years ago where it had basically she had died, and the fluids in the dog who didn't have any water and had no way to tell anybody except barking that something was wrong.
Right.
Apparently licked something. Well, let's just say he couldn't put his tongue back in his mouth.
Yeah.
And they, of course, humanely.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
There are just so many stories like this. Like, the other thing, not only people behaving badly with animals, which is always just heartbreaking, but the things that people were doing to children were unbelievable, and especially the woman who went out partying for 2 days.
Yeah,
and I'm
like wondering, you say there's some people you say, do not let this person have children.
Right. Well, exactly. It seems like there should be some type of profile, but I can't imagine how that would work. Maybe some better penalties, because most of them wind up really getting very little more than a slap on the wrist, which is really bad.
Then there was a guy who was like, he had left his kids in the car, and then he was basically doing the pub crawl.
Oh no, I know, I got him too. They could get him together with a woman who left the 6-week-old alone. Yeah, they could share a cell. As usual, the night is over too soon. Thank you for the stories. We will talk to you soon.
Okay, right, you thanks. Take care.
You too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay,
and a lot of great stories and a lot of, scary stories. And apologies to Jim. Jim in New Hampshire, you want to talk about radio and music, and so do I. So the show starts at 10:30 tomorrow night, Central Time, Jim. So I hope you will call earlier, and we will cover all of that and more. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank those of you who called. Let's do it again tomorrow night around 10:30 right here on WGN Radio.